Hello, everyone. My name is Nicholas Hemisevich, and I am the Director of Research and Academic Affairs here at KEI. It is my pleasure to welcome you here to KEI for our academic paper series event today, examining the CHORUS FTA and the Korea-EU FTA. As the CHORUS FTA is making its way through the U.S. Congress and the Korea-EU FTA will go into effect on July 1st, this is a very timely and exciting presentation. Today, we're pleased to have with us Dr. Yung-Kwon Song for this event. Dr. Song has been examining these two agreements closely, and he is going to tell us about these two agreements and some of their key differences. Dr. Song is currently a visiting fellow with us here at KEI. We have enjoyed interacting with him during his time here. He's also a research fellow in the Department of Trade and Investment Policy at the Korea Institute for International Economic Policy. He's also served on some important presidential committees in South Korea. One was for the G20 summit, and one was for facilitating the CHORUS FTA. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Yung-Kwon Song. Dr. Song?
Thank you, Nick, for your nice, kind introduction. And also, I'd like to thank you, the KEI, for having me, and I'd like to thank you, all of you, for coming to my presentation. My topic is about Korea-US FTA and Korea-EU FTA, and it would be much better that I have the complete version of paper, but the research have taken so more time than I expected, so the complete paper would be available in 2 weeks, I guess. Yeah, sorry about that. Before I get into my main topic, let me ask you this question. Do you know what is the first FTA the U.S. has made? Yeah, Israel, in 1985. And do you know how many pages that agreement has? No, it's just several pages. It consists of 22 articles and 4 annex. Okay? So it's just several pages, except for the tariff schedule for each country. But, you know, Canada FTA was, it's just auto. It was just auto, but later it was included in the NAFTA. So, up until NAFTA, the life of trade economies was relatively easy. Because you know the trade negotiation was mainly about tariff reductions, but with the advance of general agreement in trade and services and trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, TRIPS agreement in 1995, the life of trade economies got more difficult. And now the CHORUS FTA and Korea-EU FTA. Those are very comprehensive, and the page is around maybe, I guess, 1,000. And it consists like 15 or 17 chapters, and it's very comprehensive. It deals with the services liberalization as well as tariff reduction and trade-related aspects of like government procurement and intellectual property rights, competition policy, and et cetera. Okay, the objective of this paper is to identify the differences in the CHORUS and Korea-EU FTA in the area of agriculture, fishery, manufacturing services, and Kaesong industrial complex. So main focus of these two comparisons, this comparison is on the market access area. Then I compare what Korea promised to give to U.S. and EU. So I don't compare what U.S. promised to give to Korea in the CHORUS FTA or not the EU promised to Korea in Korea-EU FTA. Okay? And I'd like to try to provide an explanation about the difference of these two. And finally, I like to drive implications for U.S. exporters from the delay of the implementation of CHORUS FTA. Let me briefly introduce the main finding of my paper. So these are the sectors that is favorable to U.S. It's in agriculture, usually meat product, animal and animal product is favorable to U.S. and vegetable products like nuts and vegetables and fruits is favorable to U.S. And in manufacturing sectors, transportation, including auto and auto part, seems favorable to the U.S. For the EU, foodstuff is favorable to EU, and fishery, and in manufacturing sectors, chemicals and machinery and electricals, those are sectors that are favorable to EU in terms of the tariff schedule. Okay, the remaining of my talks will be organized as follows. First, I'd like to talk about the agriculture and fishery and manufacturing and services. And finally, I'm going to talk about Kaesong Industrial Complex. And then I'll conclude my remarks. Okay, this is the comparison of tariff reduction schedules of Korea. This is done, this was done by my intern, Jackson here. He gave me a great help to make this comparison. So there are more than 13,000 tariff items in each FTA. Okay? I divided these into 16 categories, and these are each categories. And the third column shows that the different result, the percentage of different result in each FTAs. And the fourth column shows that the percentage of items eliminated immediately in both FTAs. So you see the animal, fish, vegetable product, foodstuff, those are the categories of goods that has much higher percentage in terms of different items. And low percentages in terms of items immediately eliminated in both FTA. So this shows that agriculture and fishery sectors are most sensitive in both FTAs. And in manufacturing sectors, when you get the second of the last, transportation, different item is 23%, and elimination item is around 75%. So it shows kind of sensitivity in both FTAs. Could you help too? I can. Doesn't work. Okay. Thank you. Now we look at the sensitive product by item in table two. So these are items that has dealt sensitivity in both FTAs. So barley, maize, bean, beef, pork, milk product, and cheese, butter, etc. And you know, when you look at the second and third columns, those are result in each FTAs. And you find very similar result, right? Rice was excluded in both FTAs. Barley is very similar, but maize, U.S. got much favorable result. And bean, beef is very similar, right? Pork, for frozen pork, U.S. got much favorable result. But milk product and cheese, butter, orange, etc., is very similarly treated in both FTAs. Okay. So for sensitive items, most sensitive items are treated very similarly in both FTAs. But there's some difference in detail. Like, so when you first look at the beef, So Korea, current Korean duty is 40% for beef product. And in the this tariff will be phased out over 15 years for US and 16 years for the EU. And there's agriculture safeguard measures for this product. And this ASG will be applied for 15 years for US and 16 years for EU. But there's a difference in the trigger point. The first year trigger point is 279,000 metric tons for the US, but only 9,900 metric tons for the EU. So US level is much higher. And so I get, so we can conclude that for the beef, the US got much favorable result. This reflects the fact that beef import from the US is much higher, like $273 million in 2009. Let's look at porks. Fresh and chilled porks, the current duty is 22.5%. And the tariff will be phased out over 10 years for the EU, for the US, and 11 years for the EU. Also, there's ASG measure applied. But you see the trigger level is still much higher for the EU. For the fresh and chilled pork, US export is much more higher than EU export. So this high level of trigger point reflects this fact. But we have a different one for frozen part. So belly part of frozen pork, belly part is most popular part of pork in Korea. And so Korean current duty is 25%. And for the EU, this tariff will be phased out over 11 years. But for the US, this tariff will completely eliminate from January 1st, year 2014. So it's much, much favorable to the US side. You know, the current import of this part, the EU export is 10 times more than US export. So maybe the Korean negotiators dealt with this kinds of product very sensitively in more than in EU case, not the US case. Okay? The US part, US import is relatively small. But you know, the Korean tariff will be eliminated completely from year 2014, so that would be one potential part for the EU, US export. And for the other part of frozen pork, the Korean duty is 25%, and tariff phase out over 6 years for the EU and completely eliminated from year 2016 for the US. This is the result of renegotiation last December. And both a similar result. Okay. Now, so we so far we have that the sensitive items have been dealt with very similarly, but for the TRQ level and ASG trigger point level, US got much more benefit from these two from the FTA negotiation. And let's make an overall assessment for agriculture. So table three shows the overall agriculture tariff reduction schedules of Korea. And you see the immediate tariff reduction level is much higher by value for the US. And table four shows the comparison of both two FTAs in agriculture. And you see, for the animal and annual product, the number of items favorable to US is 50 items compared to 11 for EU. So this shows that on this category, US got much more favorable result. vegetable products still is more favorable to U.S., but foodstuff, the number of items favorable to EU is 55 compared to 41 for items favorable to U.S. So you can say that foodstuff, this is the item that U.S., the EU actually got favor compared to the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, prepared product. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And table 5 shows the agricultural import on these categories. So you see, animal and animal product is relatively higher for the U.S. import, but not that big difference. Vegetable products, this shows a big difference. Foodstuff is relatively similar. So this shows that U.S. negotiators actually did a good job in animal and animal product and vegetable product negotiations. And U.S. negotiations did a good job in foodstuff negotiations. Okay, now we go to the fishery sectors. The fishery, there's only small item that is sensitive to Korea, but I'm not going to present this item in detail. Instead, just look at table 6, and this shows the overall fishery tariff reduction schedules of Korea. So you see, by value, the immediate tariff reduction is much faster, much higher. The percentage of immediate tariff reduction items is much higher in Korea-EU FTA. But you see, and also the number of items favored to EU and number of items favored to EU is very similar. But total score measures the total sum of different years from both FTA in this category. So total score is minus 55. That means in some items, U.S., for example, got 10 years tariff reduction schedule, but EU has like zero immediate tariff reduction schedule. But when you look at the table 8, the import, fishery import from U.S. is much higher than the EU. So that shows that fishery is the product that's more sensitive in Korea-U.S. FTA rather than the Korea-EU FTA. Maybe that's why U.S. got more favorable treatment in Korea-EU FTA. Okay, now go to the manufacturing, especially auto part. So first, auto part is not kind of easily there with that. Yeah. First, we look at the tariff reduction schedules in both FTA on automobile. For the passenger cars, in Coros FTA, Korea promised to reduce its current tariff rate of 8% to 4% immediately and fully eliminated in year 5. Meanwhile, in Korea-EU FTA, Korea promised to eliminate the tariff over 6 years. So it looks that it is more favorable to the U.S. An electric car and plug-in hybrid is the same, very similar. For the light trucks, there's some differences. So after the renegotiation last year, Korea still have this kinds of tariff schedule. For the light truck, it will eliminate immediately, but in the Korea-EU FTA, the tariff will eliminate it immediately or over 4 years or 6 years, depending on truck size. And the other part that Korea promised to reform is Korea auto taxation. This is the area that many foreign, especially the U.S. Car makers complained a lot. So their complaint is basically Korea auto tax system has this provide this advantage to the larger cars. And the Korea government agreed to change its engine displacement taxation system in Korea FTA, so the larger vehicle, especially from the U.S., will no longer pay higher taxes. So for the special consumption tax, upon the enforcement of FTA, this tax on vehicles with engines more than 2,000 cubic centimeters will be taxed at 8% instead of current 10%. And the rate will be reduced 5% within 3 years of enforcement of agreement, which is the same as the vehicle with engine of more than 1,000 cubic centimeters. So Korea promised to eliminate the discriminatory result of this special consumption tax. And also, Korea agreed to amend its annual vehicle tax so that automobiles with engines of more than 1,600 cc are taxed at a single rate. Okay. And this agreement is also applied to the Korea EU FTA. For the safeguard standard, safeguard standard and emission standard, these are the areas that mostly discussed in the late negotiation last December between U.S. and Korea. And Korea agreed that Korea accept the U.S. safeguard regulations for imported cars up to 25,000 vehicles per each U.S. automakers. Currently, annual U.S. export to Korea from all companies have averages 5,000 to 7,000 cars. So this means U.S. automakers do not need to customize their product in order to export to Korea. But in Korea EU FTA, they kind of take a regulatory convergence approach that is different from Koros FTA. Fuel economy and greenhouse gas emission regulation. For this, Korea agreed last December that U.S. import would comply with fuel economy and emission standard if the cars do not exceed 119% of current U.S. Current Korean emission limit from 2012 to 2015. So this means up until year 2015, U.S. automakers don't need to change or customize their product to export to Korea. And but there's an MFN clause in Korea EU FTA about emission regulation, auto emission regulation. So this this result would automatically apply to the EU automakers. Okay, this is about autos, and let's make an overall manufacturing comparison. If you look at the table 10, then by value, in Koros FTA, the percentage of items that has immediate tariff cut is higher than EU FTA. But when you look at the details, categories of each items, then when you look at the table 11, then for the chemical and allied industry, the third row, you see, the number of items favorable to EU is 142 compared to 30, which is the number of items favorable to EU. So in chemical part, the result is much favorable to to the EU. And also, when you look at the machinery and electronic cars, the third row, the final third row, the number of items favored to EU is 177, while the number of items favored to US is 45. Okay? So these are the main areas that EU got much favor in FTA negotiation with Korea. Meanwhile, when you look at the transportation sector, this include auto and auto part and everything. And number of items favored to EU is 11, while it is 71. So it's much favorable to US. So this table shows the import from two countries. So first, when you look at the chemical sectors, you see the import level is very similar, not much difference. So you can conclude that EU had a better deal in chemical sector. Machinery and electronics, electric cars, it's also the import level is similar, so we could conclude the same conclusion. And transportation, also there's not much difference in import level. So we can conclude that U.S., during the negotiation, U.S. had more focus on transportation sectors. Now we go to the services. In services area, we are going to deal with legal services, telecommunication services, audiovisual services, and financial services, and environmental services mainly. First, so those the area that Korea actually promised to open is services market. You know, the services in the case of tariff is a border measure. So reducing tariff is relatively easy, but in services area, the services market are protected usually by the regulations inside Korea. So it's much harder to open the services market. In the case of legal services, current Korea law prohibits foreign law firms from opening offices in Korea, forming partnerships with Korean law firms, and recruiting Korean lawyers. But in the course of FTA, Korea promised that Korea will allow U.S. law firms to establish representative office in Korea no later than the day of Korea's FTA enters into force. And after 2 years, Korea agreed to allow U.S. law firms to enter into specific cooperative agreement with Korean firms in order to be able to jointly deal with cases where domestic and foreign legal issues are mixed and to share profits derived from such case. And after 5 years, Korea promised to open its legal service market fully. So U.S. law firm can establish joint venture firms with Korean law firms and employ Korean licensed lawyers as partners and associates. And this commitment was also provided to EU law firms in the Korea-EU FTA. And in the area of accounting and taxation services, the schedule is very similar. But less than, not 5 years, but 3 years. So after 3 years, Korea agreed that even in the area of accounting and taxation services, it fully opened its market to US and EU. And telecommunication services. This is very, this is an area that highly protected in Korea. The current Korea law Korea allows foreign ownership in this area up to 49% of total voting shares. But Korea, in the course of FTA, Korea promised to allow 100% indirect ownership 2 years after the entry into force of the FTA, except for the ownership of two major Korean telecommunication services provider, KT and SK Telecom. So these kinds of regulation opening is very similar to the U.S. So U.S. also has a foreign ownership regulations, but once the foreigners set up a company here and through own telecommunication service provider through this company, it's 100% will be allowed it. It's similar. So in 100% indirect ownership, this is similar to U.S. Okay. And this commitment was also provided to EU firms in the Korea-EU FTA. And audiovisual services. So this is area that is the most protected, I guess, in Korea. So we have screen quota and for broadcasting, domestic content quota, and foreign ownership regulations. This is the type of regulations that apply to foreign companies and foreigners. Before the entering the COROS FTA, Korea promised to U.S. that it would cut half of the screen quota to 73 days per year at each screen, which is applicable to the theatrical exhibition of U.S. motion pictures. This is the one that U.S. actually requests the most for Korea before entering the COROS FTA. And in the COROS FTA, Korea promised to decrease the domestic content quotas applicable to broadcast of film and animation programming from EU, US, and increase US quota applicable to single country source of foreign content broadcast in Korea. And after 3 years, Korea will permit 100% foreign ownership of program provider that is not engaged in multi-genre programming, news reporting, or home shopping. And this commitment was also provided. Actually, this commitment was only provided to U.S. The EU actually didn't ask us to open this market because they have sensitivity in their own. So this part was not there in Korea-EU FTA. And financial services, there are several other things, but the main thing is that all financial firms from the US and EU will be able to freely transfer data from their branch and affiliate to their home headquarters. So current Korean law prohibits the transferring customer data outside of Korea. But in this FTA, Korea promised to reduce these regulations. And environmental services and television and radio signal transmission services through satellite facilities, those are the ones that EU get more compared to the U.S. in the FTA negotiation with Korea. So there's no corresponding provision in COROS FTA for environmental services and these television services. So for the environmental services, after 5 years that Korea-EU FTA entered its force, Korea will grant non-discriminatory treatment to EU service suppliers in competition procedure for management contract. And for television and radio signals transmission services through satellite facilities, Korea will permit cross-border supply to EU service provider without commercial arrangement with Korean supplier. Yes, for after 2 years. Okay. These are extra ones for EU. Now, our final topic is about Gaesong Industrial Complex. Some people in this room may know about Gaesong Industrial Complex, but this is kind of sunshine policy of previous administrations. So this area was formed in year 2002, and the companies start operating in year 2004, I guess. And even though the Korea, the inter-Korea relations is frosty now, but still this complex is working. And in the course, in both FTA negotiation, both are started in the previous administration. This was the area that Korea want to have FTA preference treatment for goods produced in Gaesong Industrial Product, Gaesong Industrial Complex. Previous FTAs like FTA with Singapore, EFTA, ASEAN, and India, those FTAs actually provide FTA preferences to not all goods, but some of goods produced in Gaesong Industrial Complex. But, you know, North Korea is not a friend of the U.S., so U.S. strongly opposed to provide this kinds of preference to North Korea. Okay. Gaesong is located in North Korea. It's just 1 hour drive from Seoul, so very near. So there's it was very contentious issue in the negotiations. But finally, they reached agreement that instead of providing FTA preferences, they establish procedures for future consideration. It's very similar in both FTA. So both FTA establish Committee on Outward Processing Zones on the Korea Peninsula, OPZs, and the committee will review whether conditions on the Korean Peninsula are appropriate for further economic development through the establishment and development of OPGs. Specifically, the job of committees that are explicitly specified in the FTA provisions. First, the committee will identify geographical areas that may be designated OPGs. And second, establish criteria that must be met before goods from any OPGs may be considered originating goods for both agreements. Third, determine whether any such OPGs has met the criteria established by the commitment. So this means OPG is not just restricted to Gaesong Industrial Complex. It could be expanded. And finally, the committee will establish a maximum threshold for the value of total input of the originating final good that may be added within the geographic area of the OPG. Then what about the criteria? What kinds of criteria then we're talking about? The Korea EU FTA, they don't say anything about this criteria. But in Koros FTA, there are examples of criteria such as progress toward the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and the impact of the OPGs on intra-Korean relations, the environmental standard, labor standard and practice, wage practice, business and management practice prevailing in the OPGs with due reference to the situation prevailing elsewhere in the local economy. And also the provisions specify that the criteria also include the relevant international norms. In Koros FTA, The question is then, the OPG will be automatically eligible for the FTA preference? It's not. So in close FTA, FTA eligibility for goods produced in OPGs require amendment to the agreement, which means it should be subject to the legislative approval in both countries. Right? But the Korea-EU FTA does not have provisions that explicitly require legislative approval in providing FTA eligibility for goods produced in OPGs. Okay. That is the difference. Okay, now I'll conclude my remarks. First, this is kind of refreshed. So in these areas, U.S. gets some favorable result, but foodstuff and chemical machinery, these are the areas that EU actually got favored. Then what is the implication for the U.S. exporter from the delay of the implementation of CORSA FTA? You see, as time goes, the advantage that U.S. negotiators made will disappear. So as time goes, there's increasing disadvantages and decreasing advantages for U.S. exporter. And I like mention the last comment. So there's also lost opportunities. In the services sector, services and investment chapter in the CORSA FTA, there is MFN clause. That means after the enactment of CORSA FTA, any future agreement, if the Korea make further commitment, then this benefit will automatically accord to the U.S. service providers. But now, from July 1st this year, the Korea-EU FTA will be enacted, but there's no prospect that CORSA FTA will enact it before that. So that means U.S. in the area of environmental services and television and radio signal transmission services through satellite facilities that I mentioned, in this area, U.S. might have preference benefits, but they will lose this kind of opportunity. Okay, that's the end of my talk, and I'm happy to answer any questions and discuss anything you raise. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Song. We'll now open up to questions. We have some microphones, so please wait for the microphone. State your name and affiliation, and please ask a question as well. Start off right here in the front.
Thank you very much. Mireya Solis from American University. And I enjoyed very much your presentation. I just have two follow-up questions. The first one is, Korean trade policy is very impressive in the sense that Korea has negotiated trade agreements with its largest trading partners, the United States and the European Union. But from your explanation of the actual contents of these agreements, it seems that a lot of sensitivities were taken into account in the agricultural sector, and therefore you have the, delayed liberalization and TRQs and exclusions of rice and so forth. So my question is, what will be the impact of these trade agreements on these sensitive Korean sectors? Were they treated in such a way in which we should not expect a major impact, or will there be a major restructuring? And if that is the case, does the Korean government provide any subsidies, any compensation to ameliorate the brunt of trade liberalization? And my second question is whether the CORUS prepares Korea to participate or not in the TPP, in the sense that, the rhetoric of the TPP is that it's an agreement with no exclusions. And from your presentation again, because rice was not put on the table and because of all these other mechanisms, it seems that that's not the approach. So in general, what is Korea's position on the TPP, and would Korea be prepared to put everything on the table, including rice, if it decides to go forward? Thank you.
Should I answer? Yeah. Okay, About your first question, it's kind of long-term schedule, I should say. So like after 10 years, many things change. Yeah, even though Korea treated some items very sensitively. And agriculture, like, it's unlike US, agriculture is very sensitive sector in Korea, like sugar in the US. Many old farmers there, and the average farmer is around more than 60s actually in Korea. It's very old farmers. And Korea, so far, Korea doesn't have generous welfare systems. So by supporting just agriculture price, like putting high tariff, that is a way of supporting the farmers in Korea so far. But now Korea is getting richer, so Korea is have its own schedule for the agriculture sectors. And so like I should say, in like 10 years, many things will change. And about TPP, this is also about the agriculture is the main problem for joining TPP in Korea. So there's talk about joining Korea, even the talk of joining Japan. But Japan also has the same problem in Korea. So I doubt that in near future, Korea will join this TPP.
Okay, other questions? Right here in the front, Chris Nelson. Mike's coming here too.
Thanks very much, Chris Nelson, Nelson Report. Sorry to hear your conclusion on TPP for South Korea, because I think a lot of us here were hoping that Korea would bite the bullet, that would force or help our Japanese colleagues to do the same thing. So it sounds like you're going to each lead each other away from it. Too bad. My question, based on about Kaesong, I don't remember now, please remind me, how does this committee that makes the decisions work? And does the vote, is there a vote, and does it do both countries have to agree to it? And then, you know, because as you know, that's a political issue here, thanks to Congressman Sherman and others. Yeah, how does it work? But more broadly, from your standpoint now, as somebody who's been watching both of your parties as they work their way through these things, you have an election next year. Are these trade agreements likely to be difficult election issues? Are there things that we should be looking at or thinking about? The Grand National Party on one side and the Democrats on the other side. Is the beef thing going to rise up again and that sort of thing? What's your sense of the politics of all this in your country next year? Thank you.
If you look at the annex in both FTA, that's supposed by this committee works. Mainly they say is the government officials from each country will join the committee. So the member of committee will be government officials from each country. But it's basically they didn't specify how the conclusions will reached. Okay, it's mainly by consensus, I guess. If one country is strongly opposed some proposals, then I doubt that they could reach any conclusions about that. And about your second question about general elections next year, how it affects the prospects of close FTA ratification maybe in Korea? Yeah.
I was asking before, assuming it is ratified this year by both of us, how would it play out in politics? But also, yes, if it still hasn't been ratified, then same question. So, yeah.
Thinking of the politics, domestic politics in Korea, I doubt that whether the Korea passed this trade bill in the fall, I guess, this year. You know, the general election is approaching,
And Korean politics will not play, like, how can I say, it's not favorable for the prospects of eradication of coral safety. Before this summer, it would be much easier. But after summer, it would be difficult. So, yeah.
So it's already too late, you think?
A little bit, I guess. Wow. Yeah. But after the election, maybe next year, there will be another chance in Korea. That's my sense.
Other questions? Yeah, right here in the middle. Microphone's coming around.
Thank you. Ernie Prieg, Manufacturers Alliance, and my question is naturally about the manufacturing sector. Your tables 10 and 11, just to clarify, because on table 10, it says within 5 years, anywhere between 96 and 99% of items in trade would be implemented, in which case the difference is but my question is, the table says overall manufacturing tariff reduction, but since it's a free trade area, does this mean tariff elimination for 96 to 99%, or that it'll just be partial reductions on many items?
So you're talking about table 10?
10 and 11, but 10, particularly 10, which says overall manufacturing tariff reductions. Uh-huh. And the bottom line, within 5 years, you're way up 96 to 99.5%. Now, does reductions in a free trade area mean elimination of these? In which case, the differences in Table 11 are really just the phasing in, whether it's 3 years or 5 years, which might not make that much difference. But does it really mean, can one say for Table 10 that it should say overall manufacturing tariff elimination schedules?
Yeah, Table 10 is overall. So, and Table 11.
Is it elimination tariff to zero?
Table 11?
Table 10. Elimination to
To zero, yeah.
For 96, 99%
of, yeah, right.
I would say for 3 years or 4 years, the differences are relatively small if you're once going to.
Yeah, That's, well, it depends on the perspective of the other, yeah. But I basically agree with that, so.
It is elimination.
So. So like in table 10, when you look at the final row, second column, is 98.1%. That means in Coros FTA, 98% items will have duty-free after 5 years.
And for trade value, it would be 95%. So really, it is almost.
So I expect that after 5 years, many things happen in the Korean manufacturing sectors.
Right here?
Yeah. Peter Whitney, American University. From this list, I guess nothing was done on the positive list on pharmaceutical products or intellectual property. Is that correct?
Positive list? What do you mean?
Well, you had a limit of products that could be imported, pharmaceutical products that could be limited, that could be imported to Korea. And I know the U.S. side wanted Korea to expand that list. I don't see anything in this presentation, so I want to know, was that addressed and how was it addressed? Thank you.
Yeah, in both FTAs, they promised to set up committees on pharmaceuticals and medical devices. Okay? And there's some tariff reduction schedules. And if I remember correctly, then for medical devices, usually the tariff reduction schedule for Korea is like 3 or 5 years for the U.S. product and mostly 3 years for the EU product. And for pharmaceuticals, there are more issues than just tariff reductions, right? There's a linkage between intellectual property and testing. There are many things in there. I didn't deal with these kinds of specific issues here. That's beyond the scope of this paper. But definitely, there's a provision in both the FTA about that.
Did they increase the list of pharmaceuticals that can be imported?
I'm afraid I don't have the answer for it right now, but I guess that kinds of issues will be dealt with the committee set by both countries. That's my sense, but I'm not sure at this point. I should check.
Okay, there's a question in the back.
Tom Dolan, Columbus State University. On page 14 on your slides about the CORUS FTA and the EU FTA about the Kaesong Industrial Complex, it appears that the U.S. FTA has more hurdles or more barriers to participation than the EU FTA. I won't ask you to speak for another ministry, but does the Ministry of Reunification have a preference on which model would be preferable?
For the U.S. Korean?
No, does the Korean Ministry of Reunification have a preference as to the model of the EU FTA or the U.S. FTA? Because the U.S. seems to require the legislative intervention and so forth.
Well, I can't tell about this administration, but definitely the previous administration has preference for the previous FTA. They provide some preferential treatment for the goods products in Kaesong Industrial Product. And for these two FTAs, I guess the only difference lies in the fact that whether they explicitly specify the criteria or whether they explicitly say in the provision that it requires legislative approvals. But I guess in both the FTA, this requires amendment of FTA if they want to include the OPGs as the part of the FTA. Then, so I don't see any big difference in these two. So I hope that will answer your question.
Other questions? Yeah. Right back here in the front.
Maria Cosme, I am an independent consultant. My question is about the MFN treatment. So first, can you confirm, because I didn't hear your definition, so can you confirm that it means that if Korea grants a more favorable treatment to another trading partners, it should automatically grant the same treatment to the US? And can you tell us if the EU as MFN treatment in his agreement, and as it will enter into force first, will it benefit from, better treatment as a result of the MFN clause?
Yeah, this MFN clause was stated in the services chapter and investment chapter, the CORUS FTA. You know, the many types of service trade occur through the establishment of companies, right? So it's kind of foreign investment. So that's why the MFN clause is included in both chapters. And so MFN is most favored nation clause. So that means if one country provide if Korea provide MFN close to the U.S., that means U.S. exporter should not have no less favorable treatment than third party. Okay? So so automatically it says that so once CORUS FTA was enacted, then U.S. Service suppliers would benefit from future any market service market openings in Korea through different FTAs. But there's exemptions here. So in CORUS FTA, cross FTA prohibit to provide this benefit from the previous agreement. Okay? So once EU, so it's a bit complicated. Once the Korea-EU FTA was enacted, then Korea-EU FTA was the previous agreement before the enactment of course FTA. So any benefit in Korea-EU FTA does not occur to the course FTA. Okay? So yeah, that's basically the idea of course, yeah, the MFN clause.
And what about the EU?
Yeah, EU is the same, yeah. So so EU service provider, they will benefit from the future agreement.
Thanks. Sorry, Chris Nelson again. I saw there was a holdup in the EU approval process fairly recently because of the translation issues. I can't remember now. Has that been resolved? Has your legislature approved the EU deal? And if not, do you see the same impediment to that happening this year that you've just told us exists for the US FTA?
I'm not sure whether I got your question right, but yeah, the Korea-EU FTA will be enacted from July 1st.
So your legislature has approved it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah,
my question.
Korea Parliament right. Already, yeah.
So that's going to happen. Okay. Double check that. So we're really in trouble, is what you're talking about.
Jackson. Jackson Howard, Dr. Song's research assistant. I'm looking at pages 3 and 4, the two agricultural slides. And in the columns that compare the tariff reduction schedules for the CORUS FTA and the Korea-EU FTA, on the bottom slide on page 3 and the top slide on page 4, I would say slightly under half of the agreements are exactly the same, except the Korea-EU FTA has one additional year, and a little under half of the items. So for example, the first barley item, 15-year plus ASG plus TQR for the Korea-US, same thing plus 1 year for the Korea-EU FTA. I'm just wondering, is this significant? Is this 1 year a big head start for Korean exporter, for U.S. exporters, or is it simply a very minor detail?
I guess that there's no possibility for CORUS FTA would be enacted this year, but EU FTA will be enacted this year. So they will cancel out the 1 year gap. So I guess it's just to show the way that negotiated in both FTAs. So like in the Korea EU FTA, they like designated number 10 for tariff schedule. That means the tariff will be eliminated over 11 years, not 10 years. Okay. And for the U.S., if designated number, it's just alpha, they designated alpha in the numbers, but they deal with number year 5, 7, 10, something like that. Okay, so this is kind of difference, but not big difference.
Thank you. And a quick follow-up question. In one of your concluding slides, you talked about fading opportunities. In much earlier stages in the negotiation, was this considered a very big win for the U.S.? And ever since then, it's just been significantly declining. Thank you.
Another question? Yeah, right here. Side. We'll go here on the side first. Yeah, and then here.
Hi, my name is Matthew Lauer. I'm a PhD student in Korean history at UCLA. The question I wanted to ask has mainly to do with the expectations of people who have been involved in the negotiation on the Korean side for the FTA. As you might know, there are sort of persistent concerns that the Korean economy in some areas may be too focused or too concentrated in either certain sectors or certain companies in specific. And I was wondering if on the Korean side, so by these FTAs, there may be some sort of negative or even positive benefit for helping Korea move away from that great concentration to sort of a more robust development of mid-sized firms or otherwise, if any at all.
Every economy has its own problem, and Korea economy has its own problem too. Like as you mentioned, it depends on a few from like Jaipur, yeah. And there's some income inequality problems and small and medium firms problems, many, many problems in Korea. Well, trade policy is kind of double-edged sword. So, but it depends on what kinds of philosophy or perspective that you have. You are a free trader or you are a protectionist. But in my view that so far the way that Korea developed is kind of for the high protection for the domestic market, and it tries to benefit from kind of the GATT systems, okay, so the tariff liberalization of other countries. And there's kind of consensus that this model will be no longer sustainable. And from 1980s, actually, Korea faces much trade conflict with major trading partners like US and EU. And now, we have to consider the costs of protection. So far, we only consider the benefit of protection based on input industry argument. Okay? But history shows, even though Korea was a very successful model for input industry argument, but history shows that government haven't done a very, very poor job in picking up winners. And so now Korea requires a partnership. We'll see how Korea will develop further. And, you know, protection generates rent. And there are many rents in Korea. And that is kind of a problem in Korea, I guess. And so, in my opinion, Coros FTA and EU FTA, those are FTAs that Korea has made with major trading partners. And the effect of this FTA breach on Korea economy would be significant in 5 years, in 10 years. So these FTAs will help to reduce protection levels in Korea. And I hope that that would benefit the Korea to be more dynamic.
Question right here in front. Matt, right here in front.
Thank you. I have a general question. My name is Ahmed Mir. I used to be in the State Department and served in Korea. And I worked on the U.S.-Mexico NAFTA. So just a general question. When you showed the EU and Korea FTA have been very large numbers for both manufacturing and chemical industries. Those are areas that the Europeans are very strong on one side. What will this do is essentially enhance Korean manufacturing and chemical industry and European sort of building organization within Korea. And the opposite is that I was in Korea in the late 1999 when you had the crash. At that time, it seemed the U.S. was a big player in the Korean economy, and in especially science and technology, which is my field. Is that something that these agreements will change?
Now, in terms of trade partners, the role of U.S. actually reduced. It was the number one export, the number one export country is Korea. But now it's just third. Second is EU. So EU already bypassed in terms of Korean export. And in terms of import, actually, because EU, Korea import more from EU than the US. It's Yes, it's EU is the third and US is fourth, something like that, if I remember correctly. But the problem is, you know, the EU is not one country. It's 27 countries, and there are very diverse voices within EU. Even though they have one foreign policy, this is just, in reality, it could come true. But U.S. is one country. So even though EU, some, in some sense, EU bypassed the U.S. in terms of exporting or importing, but I guess that in the near future, there's no change in terms of U.S., not in Korea, but in the world.
Any other questions? All right. Well, I wanted to thank everyone for joining us today. We had a great discussion talking about the CORUS FTA and the Korea-EU FTA. And like we mentioned, Dr. Song's paper will be forthcoming, so be on the lookout for it. And our next academic paper series will be on June 21st with Dr. Balbina Huang. She's looking at the Korean armistice and the possibility of building peace on the Korean Peninsula. And now please join me in thanking Dr. Song. Thank you, everyone.